The title of my sermon this afternoon, When Christ Says Never, He Means It. When Christ says never, He means it. We know that God's Word is truth. So God's Word in our Holy Scriptures here that we study, we read daily, and we pray to God about, we need to be paying attention to that very closely, analyzing it, how it applies in our life, and how well we're doing each and every day of our life, are growing and progressing in the right direction that God has called us to. Most of the scriptures I'll be using today is coming from the New King James Version. You have probably heard the phrase, never say never. You may have actually used it in your life at some point in time. I know I have. I've had that told to me quite a few times as I've been growing up in my younger years, in my early adult years, especially from my parents. Never say never. It always had that index finger. Never say never. Which was better than never say never. You know what I'm talking about, right? Well, never say never means that nothing is impossible and anything can happen. It suggests that one should not claim they will never do something, as there is always that possibility that circumstances may change. Now, let's face it. Life's trials, especially in the younger years, the teenage years, when you're sort of not thinking things through and you just sort of jump into whatever you're doing, and as they say, you pay the price. Well, you tend to learn these things, especially if it's something that hurts you physically, mentally. At that point, you say, well, I'll never do that again. But you also heard people saying, well, someone told you, or I'm going to jump off a cliff, or you jump off with them. No, I would not. But there are other things I've done in my life that have been possibly even more stupider than that, and have repeated it at some time in my life after that. So have we actually found ourselves fitting into that category? I see a lot of heads nodding and some smiles and probably some thoughts of aggravation, the things that people have actually experienced in their life. Now, I actually looked at the origin of this phrase, but there appears to be a lot of controversy as to when it was actually first recorded. And let's face it, in the 6,000 years of mankind, who really knows? I mean, back in Abraham's time, was that phrase ever used? We don't know. Or whomever in the history of mankind. Personally, I tend to think, yeah, it was probably said long, long, long ago. Especially when you look at Israel and all that they did. And other people in the Bible that we've seen. Well, that's neither here nor there. We're talking about us today here in the Tampa congregation. Because we know the difference between God, one of the differences between God and us, because there's a vast difference there, but He has called us to be a very part of His family, is that God sees beyond the moment. But we try to focus on the moment, but even then we're not very clear as far as focusing on the moment, because our mind tends to just go all over the place. But God sees beyond the moment, but He also reveals the future to us. And the future that He's revealed to us is a very wonderful blessing and gift that God is revealing to us to be a very part of His family, the very family of God. In Jeremiah 29, verses 11 through 14, Jeremiah 29, verses 11 through 14. We read, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." We have a future. We have a hope that God is willing to give us, to present to us. Verse 12, "Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you." Verse 13, "And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart." So we have to be doing something. We have to be searching, calling upon God. Verse 14, "I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord, and I will bring you to the place from which I caused you to be carried away captive." Of that future period of bringing back Israel from the captivity where they have been placed and carried away. But God has also brought us out of our old life. He has called us to this way of life for us to be repenting of our old ways, of being baptized, accepting God's calling, of laying on of hands and receiving the Holy Spirit. In Isaiah 56, verse 5, Isaiah 56, verse 5, "Even to them I will give in my house and within my walls a place and a name better than that of sons and daughters." Just imagine that, a name better than sons and daughters. "And I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off." In another version it says, "which will not never perish." So I use the phrase, when Christ says never, he means it. But Christ uses other phrases as well in the interpretations that people have used in the different versions of the Bible, such as shall not be. Still, the point being is God means what he says. Christ means what he says, and we should be listening very intently, because we possess a habit, not hobbits, but a habit, okay, for putting things off. I'm guilty even still today. But somehow we seem to be oblivious to the stress that that causes. Not upon just ourselves, but a weakness in our character. And they call that procrastination. I gave a message some 10, 11 years ago talking about putting your house in order, talking about the clutter that we've collected in our life, whether material, physical, spiritual clutter. Well, that tends to enter into this phrase here. It's a weakness. That's one thing I used to say. I'll never let my office or I'll never let my house get cluttered again. Should have seen the look on my wife's face like, hey, well, I got to remind my wife that it's two of us living in that home. So I'll claim a certain percentage of that. Since her area is off limits to me to try to, you know. But we can truly be swamped with different tasks in our life because it's very demanding of our attention, whatever it may be, whether it's family, work, school, just everyday life. But godly wisdom dictates that we prioritize our task. We prioritize our daily life. And by using God as our beacon of hope, and his son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as our perfect example. Because there are so many people that are disorganized in their life, whether they realize it or not, that the time needed for a task is so greatly drawn out. A lot of wasted time. And that word procrastination, or putting things off, it literally puts us in a bind. Such as a bind where we say never, because we know that if this is a habit in our life, we need to change. We need to improve. We need to get better at staying on the path to God, because we do not want to continue disappointing others. We do not want to continue disappointing ourselves and to cause unnecessary turmoil in anyone's life. That's not a godly example. But we also find ourselves making excuses. It's so easy, and it's so off the cuff to do that. Have you ever found yourself, again, exaggerating whether to accept a fault or the blame, and then go and do the right thing to correct it yourself, not to hope and wish that someone else would do it, or you blame someone else, well, they're the ones for the fault and the blame. It is part of our life. It can be aggravating, agonizing to break a habit, because number one, we probably have not realized that we have grown accustomed to that habit. We don't recognize it as a habit because it's gotten to be so ingrained in our life. But then again, we may realize it, and what do we say? Well, I'll start tomorrow. I'll do that tomorrow. Mañana. It's always mañana, always tomorrow. But people have found out for generations, tomorrow never comes. In their life, for certain aspects. People need to know the value of the saying, and you've heard this too, I'm sure, never put off tomorrow what you can do today. I mean, when I was in school, college, work, if I kept putting things off, what did I find myself doing? I was cramming, trying to get something accomplished when I should have done it days, weeks, months before. Just kept putting things off. And even in my retirement years, I find myself still putting things off. Now lately, with all the heat, I don't mind putting things off, especially if it's having to do with outdoor stuff. Eventually it will be done. But not today, because of the Sabbath, or not tomorrow. You know, when you got 100 and something degree heat index. The older you get, the more you can feel it. But we don't want to be inheriting this type of lifestyle. We want to be inheriting God's way of life, God's calling. That is our inheritance that God is willing to gift us. Now let's just be realistic about it. There are tasks that we have to prioritize in our life. Well, the number one task in our life is to put God first each and every day of our life. Put family. Put our church brethren. I call it a task, but it's really our life. The love for fellow brethren. The love for God. The attention that we need to give I've read before out of the Book of Virtues from William J. Bennett. There's a something titled Mr. Meant To. Mr. Meant To. Talks about Benjamin Franklin. This is one of his sayings. Where Benjamin Franklin said, "Work while it is called today." I'll get to the poem in a minute. "For you know not how much you may be hindered tomorrow. One day is worth two tomorrows. Never leave that till tomorrow which you can do today." From Benjamin Franklin. Well, here's Mr. Meant To. Mr. Meant To has a comrade, and his name is Didn't Do. Have you ever chanced to meet them? Did they ever call on you? Have you ever been introduced to Mr. Meant To or Mr. Didn't Do? And you can also say Mrs. or Miss in there if you like. Okay. This is stating Mr. These two fellows live together in a house of never win. And I'm told that it is haunted by the ghost of might have been. Very interesting. You know, there we're talking about Benjamin Franklin's time. So, you know, we are to be planning for tomorrow. We are to be planning in our life. The Bible contains many scriptures alluding to this fact. God's word is truth. First and foremost, though, we need to be sure we have a constant relationship with God. A real relationship with God. This one item is one we must not put off until tomorrow. That relationship with our God, our Father. In Ecclesiastes 12, verse 1. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 1. Says, "Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come." I mean, some of the youth in here may consider, well, what do you mean when difficult days come? I've already been some difficult days, possibly. But talk to some of the adults and some of the elderly people in here about difficult days and times and learn a lot. "And the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them." Meaning you have no pleasure in days. But we're being called by God to grow in His knowledge and wisdom, to apply His Holy Spirit in our life. We should have pleasure and joy in God's gift to us each and every day of life, of His days, His creation that He created for mankind. In Ecclesiastes 12, verse 6, just a few more verses over, some of us in here can relate to this. "Remember your Creator before the silver cord is loosed, the gray hairs, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the well." Talking about aging, getting older in life. But we're still to have joy and love and understanding, no matter what part of our life we're in. Because God has given us life. God has given us a purpose to live. Because we are advised to live joyfully. Joyfully. And to do whatever lies before us with all of our might. All of our might. In Ecclesiastes 9:10, one of my favorite verses. Ecclesiastes 9, verse 10. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might, for there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you are going. It's part of life. Enjoy life while you can. Because Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, and I'll just quote this for you, and I'll also read verse 34. As Christ gave us the first and foremost goal for all of mankind eventually will have that opportunity. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. I mean, do you find yourself sometimes sitting in here and your mind tends to lapse a little bit and something comes up about, oh, I got to do that tomorrow. Or, oh, I forgot to do that yesterday. I better do that tomorrow. It happens. The mind's constantly firing. It is. It happens. In Proverbs 27, verse 1, again, speaking about tomorrow, it says, do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. God covers all the bases, all the angles. We just need to learn and listen and follow his words. Because we have an adversary who's out there trying to mix it up, stir it up. Because all of these examples, our adversary is trying to destroy. I mean, all that we've talking about so far, there's proof of why Satan, who is as dedicated to the destruction of the church, but we know he will never prevail. He will never prevail against God. And members of the body of Jesus Christ today share with all of those who have come before us, who have gone before us, the same Spirit of God. The same Spirit. Thus being the same vision, the same faith, same hope, and the same commitment that we should have continually. In the book of Acts, chapter 13, verse 10, what I'll do, I'll start in verse 8 of Acts 13 and read through verse 11. Acts 13, starting in verse 8, where Paul was speaking about a sorcerer, Elymas. He withstood them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, he looked intently at him, at the sorcerer. And he said to the sorcerer, O fool of all deceit and all fraud. Here we see a representative of Satan. Of all deceit and all fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, who is the enemy of all righteousness today, will you not cease perverting the straight ways of the Lord? Well, Satan is never going to stop until he is stopped by God. Verse 11, and now indeed the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you shall be blind, not seeing the sun for a time. And immediately a dark mist fell on him, and he went around seeking someone to lead him by the hand. God and His power. Because God tells us to consider the lives of his servants. That's you. God's servants, God's disciples, God's family. Because in all of us that we associate with, that we're part of, the family, we can see encouraging evidence of how God works in our lives, and that we should be sharing that with one another, talking about that, giving praise and glory and honor to God for that, and that we can also do that with you. You know, that Hebrews 11 is known as the faith chapter, whose names are in the book of life. And of course, we like to think our names are in the book of life, and our names will stay in the book of life. But that's up to us. If we turn, we walk away, we do it to ourselves. In Philippians 4, verse 3, again, Paul speaking, saying, Philippians 4, verse 3, "And I urge you also, true companion," another name for us, true companions of one another, of what God has called us to. He says, "Help these women who labored with me in the gospel," just as we're laboring today in our life in the gospel of our helping one another, serving where we serve, behind the scenes, in front of the scenes, wherever it may be in your life, your neighbors, your family, your friends. "With Clement also and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life." Do you see yourselves as fellow workers? Because this is a work. This is a work of God. A very lively work. Very active work. Very ongoing work that we're a part of. In 2 Timothy 2, 2 Timothy 2, verses 3 and 4. We read, "You therefore must endure hardship," of which we can help one another in that hardship that we're enduring, "as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier." If you feel yourself like you're being entangled in this life, first reach out to God and Jesus Christ. But also remember, we're a team. Okay? We're a team. We're a family. If you need to, reach out to us, each one of us, whomever you're comfortable with reaching out to, which should be any of us in this room. We're family. To help with that, to help get untangled, to pray for one another, to ask God for intervention. Because God has given them full confidence of winning this warfare. He's given us that confidence. We will win if we just stay focused. And we know that one day we will witness the prophesied day when our accuser, the accuser of all the brethren, who has been accusing us before God day and night of the infractions, of the sins. You find that in Revelation chapter 12, verse 10. Revelation 12, verse 10. But eventually Satan will be cast out. He will be cast down. Revelation 12, verse 10. "Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come, where the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down. When Christ returns, we will be there with him. Because also in Revelation 12, verse 11, the next verse, it talks about, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. And that is so worth fighting for. And God has given us his truth to understand that. Now, talking about the silver strings and the gold locks, I mean, just look around you in here today. This has been ever since Charlotte and I started in the Worldwide Church of God days. A large composition that we see out here of our brethren are elderly. Maybe I should use the word mature, which we're all mature, right? Yeah. Because sometimes you may have heard this where we talk about, yeah, I see the elbow bumping out there too. Sometimes we hear we're an aging church. Well, that's a compliment. That's a blessing. Especially for the younger people, the teens, the young adults. Because we should consider that the aging that we find around us is a strength. Why do I say that? Because it's a great advantage for God's people, for God's church, God's family, to have a large number of converted, experienced veterans, sons and daughters, those who are a full age of all these years behind us and in front of us. That you can draw from, you can learn from, you can experience of how they grew up, how we grew up, what we went through in our younger years. And yes, it's because of technology improvements, advancements, and so forth. It may or may not be a totally different picture, but life is life. If you're having troubles in a younger age, seek out those that are around you that has that experience, that has that history. Because those that I'm talking about, they've lived a lot of life. Mr. Wendt got approval for Zephyr Hills for the Tampa Church to be a satellite site for the Feast of Tabernacles this year. We have 50 people signed up for this satellite site. When I look at the names and who I'm talking about now, this is the majority of this list. Those either due to age or health or whatever reason it may be will be attending here for the satellite site. But this is God's feast. We will be hearing the messages from Panama City. We will be here celebrating God's Feast of Tabernacles and Last Great Day. We will be experiencing what those that have gone to Daytona, Panama City, wherever around the world. We're all God's people. But I see veterans here. I see people that others can learn from. Others can share life experiences. And we should be sharing our successes, our failures, our life, our opinions, our thoughts, our prayers for others. Share what have been good decisions, what have been bad decisions of life, where we possibly stumbled I mean, just don't open yourself up and just blab everything about your life. I'm not saying that. Okay? I only have a certain amount of time on this sermon message, and I don't even want to open that gate. Okay? But we have stumbled, but God has given us that right to come before Him in repentance, seeking forgiveness. God's never going to leave us. He's never going to forget us. He's not going to give up on us. We should never give up on God. Because we should always be looking in our hearts, our mind, and our soul for that righteous repentance that God gives us and grants us. Because all through this that I've been talking about, of our very life, one day, that knowledge, that understanding will be awaiting the resurrection. That opportunity to learn from that individual will be gone. What will be left are memories. Okay, so take advantage of talking to your family, learning that information, learning how it's better ways of overcoming. Learning about the history of the church, the history of life, the history of staying dedicated to God. So as I've called them, veterans, who have been through the trials of life and continue to go through trials of life, it's worth it. And a lot of credit goes to them to stay, that staying power that God, all glory goes to God and His Son, Jesus Christ. Of all the encouragement and faith that they can give to one another, to each of us, and that we can show to our Father, because I don't know if you've ever noticed just how bright their light shines. How it's so wonderful to see them here each and every day, or each Sabbath. The smiles, the talks, the conversations, the history that you learn about life and how to do it better. The very fruits of God's Spirit manifested in their lives that will pass on to your life, that you just keep adding and adding to. God's church has a history of men and women who have demonstrated the power of the Holy Spirit by the way they have lived and fought the spiritual warfare, just as the faith chapter, Hebrews 11. You have seen, you've witnessed in God's word the demonstration of a willingness of heart. A willingness of heart by setting their minds on things above. Things above. Colossians 3. In Colossians 3, verses 1 through 5. So if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, which where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And that baptism, the old person died when you raised into new life with Christ. When Christ, who is our life, appears, and He is our life. Don't let that part of our life disappear. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Ponder that. Think on that. Verse 5, therefore put to death your members which are on the earth, the fornication, the uncleanness, the passions, the evil desires and covetousness, which is adultery. Put those away. From the day we are baptized, we commit, and such great commitment that we make, to a lifelong pursuit, your life at that point, lifelong pursuit of holiness. And that means sacrificing our lives every day. Every day. And if true believers, those with such depth of conviction, our conviction, what God has called us to, that life, we're willing to give up ourselves for God's way of life, because we will be effectively living that life. And that gives us the experience and a maturity to draw on, that treasure that we can keep drawing from. Especially when it comes to developing the next generation. That's why it's so important for the younger children, teens, young adults, to take advantage of what's available, the experience, the maturity, sitting all around you in this room. All that maturity and that experience that you get from UCG.org, all of that data, all those sermons, all the booklets, all of that maturity, wisdom, possibilities of growth. Think on that for the younger and newer people in God's church today. That's available to us. Let's take advantage of it and seek to appreciate and get to know more and more and more. Not just on the weekly Sabbath, but each day. The great thing about technology, the texting, the emails, the phone calls, again, the prayers, so important. Another thing from the Book of Virtues, talking about new friends and old friends. Basically family, new friends and old friends. It's prefaced by saying, what is real endures. Well, God's calling, God's way of life, God's plan of salvation, that's real, it's true. It's eternal. It will endure. So what is real endures? It is as true a friendship as are the other kinds of love. So let me just read this to you from the Book of Virtues. It says, make new friends, but keep the old. Those are silver, these are gold. New made friendships, like new wine, age with mellow and refine. Friendships that have stood the test, time and change, are surely best. The brow may wrinkle, hair grow gray, friendship never knows decay. For mid old friends, tried and true, once more we our youth renew. But old friends, alas, may die. New friends must their place supply. So, circle of life. You live and you die. Cherish friendship in your breast. New is good, but old is best. Make new friends, but keep the old. Those are silver, these are gold. So just look at all the treasure sitting out there around you, next to you. A very part of your family, the silver and the gold, the very jewels that God has made us into. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. In verse 6, Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6. So let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you, nor forsake you. Now, the title of the message was, when Christ says never, never, he means it. But when you read the words of Christ throughout the Bible, a lot of good stuff there. A lot of very promising, inspirational, building, loving, compassion. And when you read, I will never leave you nor forsake you. It's talking about God will never leave you. But let's just make sure we never leave God in his way. Verse 6 of Hebrews 13. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. We never want to lose that helper. We never want to walk away from that helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? If God is for you, who can be against you? As we've heard. Mr. Myers had an article titled, God's Grip Won't Slip. This is back about 4 years ago, March of 2021. Talking about where it says, God, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I found it very interesting, so I'm quoting from this article from Mr. Myers. He talks about, now if we could read this verse, Hebrews 13, verse 5, in the original Greek, we could even be that much more confident and encouraged in what God's telling us here. That he will never leave us nor forsake us. Mr. Myers states here, here's what it says in the original Greek. Five times God wants to assure us. And that statement in itself is a lot of assurance to us. It should be. That he is not going anywhere when it comes to holding on to us. Thus the title about God's grip that Mr. Myers was talking about. This is what the original Greek talks about. If we were to read this literally it would say something like, and God's speaking here, I will not, nor could not, nor will not, neither will I not forsake you. Pretty emphatic, pretty strong of God speaking to us, reassuring us of that from the original Greek. We should recognize God's care isn't once in a while. It's not the flip of a coin. No, it's not. It's not occasional. As some things in our life appear to be, once in a while, occasional, sporadic. God's way is not sporadic. It's not something that's partial. God is not partial. God's care is absolutely total. Do you feel that way about God in your life? Do you recognize that in your life? Because it's total for us. It's total for mankind eventually. All of mankind's not being called now, but they will be given that opportunity to learn. And we should be taking confidence in these type of statements about God. And to be assured that God is not going anywhere. We may go somewhere if we slip, we fall, we drift, we turn. That's us. That's not God. Because God loves each and every one of you. He loves us. He loves mankind. John 3:16 shows you just how much God loves mankind. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That's tremendous love. Tremendous love. Now, some people say you can take that to the bank. Well, pure confidence. It's confidence, it's hope, it's assurance, it's encouraging. All of the above, even more words that you can add in there from God. And yes, we have examples of, Mr. Juarez talked about last Sabbath, about John talking about Peter, you know, using the word never. Where the two examples of Peter using never, we're human, okay? We've used it in our life. You know, Peter was proven wrong. When Christ wanted to wash Peter's feet, what did Peter say? You shall never wash my feet. Well, lucky for him, Christ did, because Christ told him, if I do not wash you, you have no place with me. And what else did Peter say? Matthew 26, verse 33. Where Peter responded saying, even if everyone else has fallen away from you, I will never fall away. Learning. All this is there for our learning. Have you ever said to yourself, I'll never fall away from this way of life? Pretty dangerous words. Because Satan's fixing to say, well, I can prove you wrong in that pretty quick. Boom. Satan's not going to give up. So in God's word, Christ said a lot of words. Because I picked up the word never to utilize in this message today. Because there's one verse or scripture that got me to thinking about this word never. Now, it may sound like a very scary verse, but it also has a very loving connotation to it. Matthew 7. Matthew 7, verse 22 and 23. Let's say Matthew 7, verses 21 through 23. Here Christ uses the word never. Matthew 7, verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? Verse 23, and then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. That makes you think. That makes you wonder. That makes you contemplate your life. It should, each and every day. But the uplifting part of that is, it's there for us to read, to learn from. To learn that we don't want to go in that direction. That we don't want to be practicing lawlessness. We want to know the actual truth of God's Word, which God's Word explains itself. But we're to be in God's Word. We're to be on our knees to God each and every day. We're to be looking, growing, searching. All of that. But to thoroughly enjoy where Christ says, and God says, He will never leave us nor forsake us. Let's hang our hat on that and continue forward. Enjoy the rest of your Sabbath.